B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And then as 2019 was dawning, a two-year, $50 million contract, virtually the same thing that was split across to Drew Brees, was what was expected, was what was hoped for, was what was discussed. Instead, the $25 million that was offered to him came in the form of, my understanding again, a $5 million raise from $15 to $20 million for the base. And then the next $5 million would be, again, in very, very difficult to earn incentives. Brady said, I don't love that. Really was sideways with it, as were the folks who do his negotiating. And as a result, when Brady did eventually come to a conclusion about what he wanted, it was, we'll take 23, no franchise tag. And the Patriots said, well, why would you want to not be franchised? Well, wouldn't want to be franchised specifically for this. Specifically for now, specifically for the next 90 days.
That is Tommy Curran on his Patriots Talk podcast, NBC Sports Boston. He's got some things there on Brady about his contract and how that went down.
Interesting how how these current 90 days are rolling around, where I think Brady had the foresight to understand it, a while ago, even sort of at the beginning of camp and early preseason there before that extension was signed, that, I don't have enough pro-level talent around.
Do you think that that's why? He did the deal the way he did it?
Well, if he could see it. And he made the statement on one of those talk shows, right, that, my wife makes a lot of money, but other guys need to be paid because you need to fit everybody in as a team because I want to have a good team around me. And maybe he sees, things swinging to the defensive side. And, based on how offenses are constituted, you look at Baltimore, you look at I think it's really more for the Chiefs, too. This team that's coming in here Sunday, why this game's so big. The way you built this defense, and you keep it veteran and you keep it experienced. Communication, spacing, all that. This defense is built for this type of game. The Chiefs, really, because the Ravens weren't on your radar. Chiefs are. You knew it a year ago. You knew it the year before. You even knew it Alex Smith. They could score points. They could move the ball. That team is a threat. And they had a bunch of name guys on defense that they got rid of. And they kind of rebuilt their defense. I have no clue how they're going to look on defense on Sunday. But it scares me based on, who their coordinator is and some of the moving parts that have changed. Because he's not a dumb guy. Now, he's not stubborn. Well, we're going to do what we do. We're going to play cover two. This guy will switch it up on you a little. He's been around the block. He's a good, good defensive coordinator in this league.
617-779-0985. To go to Brady, though, in terms of the deal and the contract, It feels like, from what Tommy Curran is saying, is that the request for the non-franchise tag came as some sort of surprise to the team. They were caught off guard.
Well, I think it's a give and take, too. If you're not going to give me the two and guarantee it like you did with Brees, sort of in that ballpark, we'll do the one-year extension, but I'll do 1 year.
But it speaks to this point. Are they reaching a point where they might just say...
Uncharted territory.
Not just that, but this is an
shelf
okay
life.
Time for us to say...
Shelf life.
Tom, thanks for everything. You do what you want to do. Do it. Do you want to go somewhere else?
What does Bill always do?
Then do it.
Bill, if Bill likes the player or thinks the player's valuable, he's going to trade him to a team you're not going to play.
Right.
We'll trade him to an NFC team, or we'll ship a guy to Cleveland. We'll never see them. Talking somebody could eliminate you. I wasn't a big fan of Bledsoe, so he traded him within the conference. Within a division.
Within
a division.
Yeah, right within the division.
Yeah, here. Put him on a team. We'll face twice here. I could defend him. It didn't work the first game, but it worked the second one. And then, we know that ended up. But, I know Phil's going to be in with us, and what he said regarding a team that possibly he could land with. That would be a little alarming to me.
Phil Perry coming up at noon. Yeah. We'll talk to him about where he thinks he could land.
Yeah.
But just the idea that the team could walk away and say, Tom, you want to
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that with this one. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. You know what? If that's what you want, we're happy to let you go do that. But
they've done that with other key players. They've done it with McCourty.
Yes.
Edelman, Hightower. And these are guys that are team captains.
I think they could do the same thing with Brady. And I think it would turn out differently.
I think he's different, man.
I think he would. I think he would get a ton of money, and another team would love to have him, and they could sell tickets and get their
fan base. None of those other guys put people on seats the way this guy would.
Of course. Of course. I mean, this guy would be huge for another place. But I'm just talking about from a Patriots perspective. Are they reaching the point where they say, let's start it over now? Let's just have the clean break then. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And this season, whether you like it or not, has probably at least caught some fans' attention that I don't think the outcry, Bert was in with us, and Bert suggested that, if that happened, if the Patriots were to walk away from Tom Brady, the fan base would be pissed. And of course there would be people that are pissed. But I also think we're sort of reaching a point when you've got a 42-year-old quarterback, at some point, regardless of how he's playing or how the team's playing, people start to say, well, even if he's playing at a high level, how many more years of this is there? And they might not be as angry as they would have been 3 or 4 years ago.
I think it depends on the money. What's the threshold of money to say, they can't pay that for Brady? Because that's how the fans will justify it.
I think you're right.
But if he goes and signs somewhere for $15 a year, that's going to be the dagger.
But I really don't.
I'll
think
go
that
somewhere
would
to take less because I want to play you.
If he's going to play for $15 million a year,
he's not going to do that.
Who's he doing that for?
I don't know. But this wasn't about the simply $2 for $50 million contract, because he got the 23. The franchise tag is 27 next year, right? Projected.
Right.
That's 2 for $50. He wouldn't have taken the franchise thing off the table if he simply just wanted the 2 for $50 and it was all about the money.
Yeah, the franchise thing though is not. The fact that it's included, that doesn't make it a 2 for $50 deal. It just means it's possible.
Yeah, worst case scenario for Brady is he gets cut, right? That's still the worst case scenario right now.
He could go out and, get shredded on a play and not have the earnings capability or guaranteed money in that back year. So,
and that's the way the current
clip said he thought he was getting the Drew Brees 2 for $50 deal. In essence, the franchise tag would have been the second year to make it 50 total.
Okay, but there's no guarantee that he gets franchised and gets that franchise tag money.
And right now,
and in his mind, he knows that.
But right now, he doesn't want the franchise tag. Why does he not want the franchise tag if it was just about getting the 2 for $50?
Because he wants if he wasn't getting the two for fifty, he said, I'm going to have to create leverage to get you to pay me the money.
It's the only way he could
that
create
I want
leverage.
To get. If you're not willing to pay me 25, why would I think that you're a year from now going to pay me 27?
And he's not stupid because I've been here for 20 years. I've been doing this. We redo my deals. I do take team-friendly deals. And it's the only way I could create any sort of leverage. Because everybody out there
thinks... sort of taking the Patriots off the hook, is what I'm saying, by doing that. The Patriots don't have to franchise tag him. If they really don't want him...
Right now, they
don't have the option to get the franchise tag.
Right.
If he left that on the table, they would have had to make that hard decision. Do we franchise him or let him hit the market? And that would have been a story unto itself. That story's been taken away by him
having that.
They
wouldn't have franchised him. They didn't want to pay him 25.
Yeah.
It sounds like he had to pull teeth to get the 23. They're not going to all of a sudden fully guarantee 27.
Well, and then,
they're not going to do it.
And I think the real kicker that I don't know if anybody's really talking about, it's the $5 million incentive clause, that the five steps he had to hit.
Right.
Which are average of playing. And that's coming off an MVP season. Remember?
Yeah, MVP and throwing 505 yards in the Super Bowl.
I threw for an MVP of the year, 505 in a Super Bowl and a loss when you didn't play Butler. And you're going to make me jump through hoops to do these incentives.
And so that's why, you say the summertime, knowing what was around him, he wanted to get rid of it. I think maybe it's just a culmination of everything that's gone on the last few years, including that, what you just mentioned. And where's this stand now? And how does the last month of the regular season and the playoffs, does this even weigh into whether or not he hits the market? Does it even factor in at this point?
And in terms of what the Patriots are willing to do, how much of it depends on, going back to what would they do otherwise? Like, they have to look and see who they've got, what they could possibly do. You got to have a quarterback on the field next year. I mean, would they be willing to say, okay, we're absolutely not going to spend that money that we were just talking about. We're not going to come anywhere close to those numbers because we feel Jared Stidham is ready to go and take this team over. I mean,
think they have a plan. Do they have a plan?
They have a plan.
Do they?
But is it ready to be set into motion starting the, you know, March 1st?
I was a fourth rounder. Was I a plan? I mean, you know,
you were a plan.
Yeah, I mean, I had a depth. Like, that's a depth pick. You know, reaching into two for a guy at a school that nobody really knew about, that's kind of, hey, we're picking a guy there. Speaking of Jimmy.
617-779-0985. I have a very simple question.
And I'm not downplaying Stidham.
Simple question about this season on Tom Brady. I'm going to ask you coming up next, okay? Get ready for it. It's on the way.
Easy. Oh, boy.
Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Got the Pro Skator. Let's see. Will you play that again today at some point?
I don't know. You were criticizing the Christmas music earlier. Hardy ruined the song for me. I just realized Hardy ruined the song for me.
Sometimes you gotta roll with the changes, Jim.
Oh, yeah? Doing that today?
I don't know. It's a big one this weekend. We don't roll it out often. But think about it. Yeah, think about it.
Whoa. Well. I can't get it out of my head.
I hate when you do that because I can't stand his accent. His twang. Well, yeah. Like, I'm going to twang it.
Can't stop.
Don't do that.
I can't stop thinking about it. All right. Here's my simple question for you. Can Tom Brady carry the Patriots to the Super Bowl and win it? Brady being the guy who does it, who carries the team on his back, carries the offense, wins it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me how that happens.
He makes sure that the big third downs are hit, the third and sevens, the third and eights, because that moves the sticks, that gets you down in, and they get better in the red zone. Because they're doing one thing right now that a lot of teams aren't doing. They're protecting the football better than anybody. You know, they're good with that. Josh McDaniels said that's one of the best things we're doing this year. We protect the football. So it's not a turnover-based offense, right? It's not a risk offense where we're trying to thread needles, we're moving it around, we're doing all this reverse motion. No, there's not a lot of misdirection. It's pretty, you know, I think to what we've talked about with him, line it up, base it down a little bit. Not to say simplified, but let's not ask guys that is a square, you know, shape to fit into a round hole. Let's not do that. Let's get role-specific guys going on what they do well. And I think Brady can orchestrate that and get them in the right place, meaning plays, not place, plays. Get them in the right plays. Be better than when you get down there to go for it on, you know, a two-pointer instead of burning that timeout, backing the kicker up. Hey, Coach Josh, we got to be better on this. We got two plays ready to go here if we're going to go for it. Or let's burn that timeout, you know, all of it. He can be better. He can be better. And just by being a little bit better means he can help carry this team. But are you phrasing that as put the whole team on his back?
Yeah.
Like, I look at Kansas City, like, that's on Mahomes, right? And I can say their defense going to carry. It's going to be, if they're going anywhere, it's going to be Mahomes carrying.
I just think that.
Like, Lamar Jackson is carrying Baltimore.
For reasons beyond his control, beyond Brady's control, who he's got around him, how this team was built, the fact that the defense is a lot better than the offense and is loaded with talent. How could he possibly be the guy that does that anymore for this team? How could he? And that's not to put him down or say that he's declined or any of those things. He's been put in a spot by this team that does not allow him to be an MVP, to be a guy that carries the team on his back and takes it all the way. And maybe that is sort of hurting his ego a little bit. As you can understand, this team has been all about this guy for a very long time. And now it's not as much about him. And that's not his choice. That he didn't choose that. Someone else did. Like his coach / GM chose that for him. And so because he can't do that anymore, might want to make him leave. And it may make the people above him say, what's the difference if we plug in someone else now? The offensive results may be exactly the same because we've sort of neutered and taken away how great Tom Brady can be. And I don't think it's a wise choice. None of us do. Why would you do that? It's almost like this team is letting Tom Brady go to waste in a way.
Are they, or they know that he's that good and such a good decision maker that we could help plan and maybe to some point that Brady's going to look at it or people above him and say, do you really want to go anywhere else or do you want to stay with the guy that kind of had the foresight to tweak this defense, maybe overpay for some guys and, you know, lots of money elsewhere because he knows how you guys have to win now. That's part of that whole game manager thing. That's
right. We've heard that a lot this year. Tom Brady had to manage games.
But I answer
Does
that
Tom
question
Brady want
you.
To manage games?
And no, but that's still winning.
Do you want Tom Brady to manage games? Who the hell wants that?
Or do you, I mean, look at the end of last week. Can he still throw it? Can he still move the ball? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Seam routes. You know, stuff down the middle when things are dire. Yeah. We could be controlled quietly. I can go no huddle and I can move this team. There's elements there. See, that's why I say they can't do it because we've seen them do it at times. They haven't stacked one of those 60-minute games together.
Does Tom Brady decide that they can go no huddle and do it? I know he has plenty of input in the offense.
Oh, he'd love to.
And he's got plenty of, you know, conversations that he's had with Josh McDaniels.
You can't do it when guys are sick and thrown up on the sideline. Everybody's on IV
bags. No, but the entire year, I mean, he ultimately doesn't make the call.
Right.
They do. The coaching staff does.
But damn, when they did that in Baltimore, it looked pretty good. You know, there's out in the end of last week, they can move the ball when they want. Like, there's plays to be made.
Not consistently.
Right. That's the thing.
And so because he's no longer the guy that can carry you to the Super Bowl, maybe the team says, we can get by with the lesser quarterback. We don't need Tom Brady to win. Tom Brady's great. But it's just not the way that we're built right now, and we're seeing it. I think we're seeing it every week. Has Tom Brady been a significant, you know, competitive advantage in a lot of the games this year? Some, yes, of course.
What would they be without him?
That's a great question. What would this team's record be without
him? You're 10-2 right now. 12 games in.
They may have a couple more losses.
Without him and having Stidham at quarterback, or without him and having somebody else at quarterback?
Either way. I mean, not with Garoppolo. No, you can't factor in Garoppolo because he's playing elsewhere, right? So it would be...
You really can't.
Stidham or some guy that they... Bridge guy that they brought in, you know?
Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, is it Jimmy?
Is it right? I don't know. Teddy Bridgewater made it work.
Who's
for
he
the
talking
Saints.
To?
Talking to Tom in Worcester.
I think the job that he's been asked to do could be fulfilled by other quarterbacks that are not nearly as good as him.
Mm.
Not nearly as good. They've won a lot on defense this year. It's just the way this team is sort of gone. What do you think they'd be? What would be their record without Brady?
Probably around 7-5. Still about 500.
8-4.
But then you're really what, a game off of Buffalo then?
Yeah, you're not terrible.
Hey, you probably don't win.
You're not terrible is the point.
I don't think you win in Buffalo without him.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
no?
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, there's one thing.
I think you've got a couple more losses in there without Brady, but I don't think the season is
very lost to Houston and Baltimore. Like, that's a big thing, too. Another big one for him, meaning this week. Okay, you're 0-2 against, you know, division heads. Teams against team in your conference that are winning division. You're 0-2 with Brady at quarterback.
I don't think it's falling apart,
is that guy
though?
Going 0-3?
Could you be a playoff team without him? Could this be a playoff team without him? This current team?
You'd be in a playoff hunt. Look at all the other teams there. Look at Pittsburgh.
That's yes, they could be.
Look what Mike Tomlin's doing with the third quarterback in
Thank
Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
The conference isn't
So if the big step
too,
back,
too hard.
If the big fallout after Brady is, hey, you're still a playoff team, borderline playoff team.
See, that's my question.
That, is that, you know.
No, that's my question, calling games too.
Nuclear
like, what's,
fallout
what's the future?
After Brady leaves? It's not.
Outside of the Bills, which game would they have lost?
In a transition year, in a transition bridge to whatever, you know, the next if it's Stidham who needs to develop, and Stidham's still a little raw or a lot raw, whatever it might be,
yeah,
and you're still a borderline playoff team,
Dallas, Jim,
or you're in the playoffs, oh, you're a fifth or a sixth seed now, you're not the one or the two seed, but you're still in the mix here. You don't totally suck. You haven't gone from competing for the Super Bowl every year, but you're still a playoff team.
Yeah.
Is that such an ugly scenario? Again, not from our perspective, because I don't want Brady going anywhere.
Nor do I.
Firmly on the record about that. But the team might look at it, and Bill might look at it and say, yeah, we'll be a playoff team next year, and in 2 years, yeah, we'll be right back in there competing in the AFC Championship again. In his mind, not ours, his. There's a case to be made for that. 617-779-0985.
Jim's point about, like, other than, who did you say, Jim?
Zoe said Dallas. So another quarterback couldn't have scored on drives of 12 yards, 3 okay. yards, and 28 yards.
But you're
or
saying
whatever it
what
was.
Game would they lost? That assumes you can keep this type of defense going. I think it's harder to show up with a good defense
they beat Cleveland
year after year as opposed to a good offense. You get a good, you get a great quarterback and a couple of good receivers and a tight end and a running back that you can keep on the field and keep healthy for 3 or 4 years. You can have a good offense year after year after year in this league. Having a good defense year after year after year, that's a different story.
But maybe stuff's hidden to where Brady is just so damn good that he helps balance some of the lack of talent that you have on the outside. What if you threw Stidham into this mix? Like what Jim said, would be Stidham or somebody else. What if you threw Stidham in with this crew? Is Brady that much better that...
The Patriots still don't have a kicker for this weekend, correct?
Yes, they do.
We have an update.
There's an update coming in the headlines right now.
Nick Foles, I think.
Hardy's got an update on that as it relates to the Patriots kicking situation. We'll get back to your calls here later in the hour.
Outside
we are going to get to Read and React coming up next.
Boston's home. Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
Raspberries. apples.
And react.
How long does it take you to go to sleep?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Put them on a glass.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's like old man Hardy.
Love that one.
Raspberries.
No, it's apples.
Yesterday's, though.
That's just like his last read.
I did a live read and screwed something up. Instead of saying chassis, I said chassis. Reading it verbatim.
The wonderful chassis on that all-new Ram 1500.
Oh, it's chassis.
Well, you would have read it the same way.
I would have.
That doesn't make me feel good.
<doesn't>
You want to hear Mike O'Brien? Your favorite. So loves Mike O'Brien.
Just Passan. He puts every word together. Yes.
Here is his description of the Denver basketball team. Who's the team in Denver, though?
Oh, Denver Nuggets.
The Celtics are back at home court Friday night to face the Denver Nuggets.
One more time. You know, like when your kid starts reading and he puts a finger on each word? I would like to this one to be
Denver Nuggets.
Here we go.
Talk like that conversation.
The last time that happened, Tom, is when the Patriots did it back in December of 1988.
88. 49ers play the Saints in New Orleans. Zoe picked this game. Yeah. Richard Sherman was asked about our the color analyst there, Tim Ryan. You know about Tim Ryan?
Yeah, he said the for reasons Lamar Jackson was able to hide the ball.
Well, his skin color matched
that. The uniform, the all-black uniform.
Matched that of the ball, and you can't even see it. Anyway.
He really, yeah.
So Richard Sherman was asked about that.
Honestly, I wasn't as outraged as everybody else. You know, I understand how it can be taken under a certain context and be offensive to some. But if you're saying, hey, this is a brown ball, they're wearing dark colors, and he has brown arm. Honestly, sometimes we were having trouble seeing it on film. You know, he's making a play fake, and sometimes he's swinging his arm really fast, and you're like, okay, does he have the ball on that play? And then you look up, and Ingram's running it. So it was technically a valid point, but, you can always phrase things better. You can always phrase things and not say his black skin, you know. But I've had a relationship with him since I got here. He's never been anything but a great guy. I don't think anybody in this locker room is taking it offensively or anything.
All right, so he's the color guy that does the Ravens, I mean, excuse me, the 49ers broadcast on radio.
Yes.
So it'd be like me doing it. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but I would never term it that way. I would never go to that extent to term it that way, but I got lost about five plays in the game because he is that good at just being silky smooth with the ball that I can't see where the ball is.
That his skill.
He could have termed it differently.
His skills are pretty good.
Right, but it's going to be interesting if the Ravens just wear, you know, stay with our all-dark uniforms. Like we can hide the ball. He is that good. You can't find the ball.
But I out of the list of reasons, this is what we talked about yesterday.
We talked about this
before. If you were to list the reasons why he's so good at the fake handoffs, his skin color, where does that rank?
It would not have come out of my mouth.
Okay. Right. All right.
Yeah, even if I thought. No,
probably not. Yeah. Okay.
Misery. What's the name of that movie with Kathy Bates?
You just said it.
Misery.
React.
Rams. Boy, did they cast well on that, huh?
Rams. Rams host the Seahawks on Sunday night. Sean McVay talking about his quarterback, Jared Goff.
With the amount of times that the ball's in Jared's hands, you can see he did a great job distributing it, you know, made good decisions, got us in and out of some of the right checks in the run game, and I thought that was a good reflection on him, and that's really, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately type deal, and now we got to stack another good performance this week.
He sounds a little bit like Gruden.
He does, you know, have what? A little bit of
got a
little
Gruden to him now. If he gets that song twang. Goff's helmet bugs me, too, about him.
Why?
Because he's got, like, one of those little baby peanut heads, and he's got all the oversized padding. It almost still doesn't fit his little tiny head. We got, like, the Beetlejuice head from the waiting room.
What? Yeah, shrunken heads?
Sprinkle the dust on top.
Sprinkle the dust.
Look at his helmet, his ear pads.
Hey!
They're oversized ear pads.
Hey!
You know what I mean? And his face mask is, like, too big for his helmet. It's weird. Something's weird about it. So.
Guy makes $2 million a game.
I hate him.
Oh, man.
Wow.
How much does Brady make per game? Does Brady make $2 million per game?
No. Oh, no. 1.5?
Not even close. $2 million a game.
Three.
That stupid rejoin. That's a bunch. Don't ever play that again.
Steelers play the Cardinals on Sunday. Mike Tomlin.
Woo!
Now talking about his quarterback.
Duck will be our quarterback again this week.
Duck.
He's performed well in hostile environments, but he just doesn't have a big sample size.
Sample size, hostile environments,
hostile.
The grouping of patterns that we have placed together.
Like what I saw in L.A., I like what I saw in the second half in Cincinnati, but, you know, he'll be moving now into his roughly seventh quarter of road work.
Road work to the state of Ohio and California. I like what I've seen there.
His seventh quarter of road work.
Road
work.
What,
he's got an interesting way of putting it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He talks.
Coach of the year.
I tell you who he talks and thinks like. Oh. Jim Louth. Jim Louth would break it down into number of quarters of road work. That's something Jim would do.
Yeah.
How many quarters of road
roughly
work?
Roughly seventh quarter of road work.
Okay.
Jim, is your family having Christmas next week? They doing that? Are you saying Merry Christmas
no.
and walk in?
No.
Three.
Ooh. Ah. 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 Ooh. Ah. Ah. Ah.
React.
This show is incredibly stupid. I just want to say
no. We're actually
for the record.
Funny.
Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. asked about reports that he might look to leave Cleveland after this season. What did he have to say about
this
that?
This is amazing.
No one knows what the future holds like tomorrow. Like, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here.
This is exactly.
Yes.
Is his contract up tomorrow? Is it?
Well,
when they traded for him, did they pick up his money?
Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. All we have is today.
Call your agent. He'll tell you how many more years you got left.
Like, what?
Jesus.
Who would say that?
Him.
What is the... What do
you... That tells you he wants out.
I told
whether
you, man.
I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here.
Doesn't matter. You're under contract.
Tell me when he's going to be on a winning team. And when he's going to help a team win.
That is true, huh?
That's what I want to know.
Wow.
I've been saying it about this guy for years. Losing player. His teams don't win. Sneaky doesn't help teams win.
Sneaky losey.
This is exactly where I'm at now, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. It's something that, like I said, God has a plan. In the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
God's plan.
Yeah, you're right.
Drake said that.
God's will.
He's a big Drake fan.
Come on.
No, God didn't negotiate a contract.
You did.
How you represent him.
That right there is contributing to a losing culture. Comments like those in the middle of a season.
I couldn't tell you if
that's
I want to be here.
That's a loser team. That's what happens in the locker rooms of loser teams.
You know what you can do it in some situations, Odell, and it's perfectly acceptable. You lie. You say, of course I want to be here.
Love it here.
I'm grateful we'll to be playing to in the NFL. Yeah. Grateful to be playing anywhere. Can't do it.
What else do we need?
Yeah, the engineer, they cannot fix. We got Dennis. He plays with his...
React.
That's it, gentlemen.
Dennis ain't even here today.
We got to get to your calls, 617-779-0985. That is on the way next.
Miss something?
You got to wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Katy Perry?
Lizzo. Come on, Zo. Come on,
dude. Like, what's that Katy Perry song?
In with my car. We got a little luncheon here today already.
Yeah.
That's very kind. Now, is this from... Polo Club, as it was told to
the
me.
The Polo Club.
But I read it, and okay, I think pollo, like chicken. That's what I'm thinking here.
I'm thinking the Polo Club, like I like polo.
It's like a play on words, because there's someone riding a chicken in the logo, like someone
yeah.
on a polo team. So
pollo would be P-O-L-O.
It is. It's two L's.
Oh. Job, Jim.
That's all I'm asking. I want to make sure I'm getting it right.
That's
but
the Pollo Club.
It's the latest addition to the Moody Street in Waltham from the Moody's Deli team. So if you're in Waltham, you're in that area, you want to check this place out. Zoe is housing fried chicken. That's the star of the show there. How is it, Zoe?
It's good.
Take a bite for everyone to see. There you go. Oh, like Zoe is destroying that chicken. A variety of fried chicken platters served on homemade buttermilk biscuits,
the chicken
sausage.
Doesn't travel well. No. I told her, I said, this is really good chicken. Chicken usually doesn't travel well.
Oh. So knows. He knows how well it's
really
chicken travels. Chicken.
Do you
like French fries don't travel well?
Do you have food in your mouth right now?
I told him to. I told him to go for it. Yeah, really for the effect.
I wasn't going to do it.
Located in Waltham, 456 Moody Street. And you can skip that line, join the wait list at P-O-L-L-O, which I would say Pollo.
Jim Lau from Warwick would say Polo
Club Waltham.
Jim, really quick, I saw the logo.
You ever been to a Polo Club, Jim?
Yeah, I think that's what I think they're. We gotta double check this for sure.
No, it's got to be what they're going for. Yeah,
yeah, they're going for like the double.
Did they have like the horse guy with the polo shirt?
Look at it, but it's like a polo guy, but he's riding a chicken, not riding a horse.
Do you have any of the deviled eggs?
Yeah, I did. It was unbelievable.
So good.
Oh, you pop them in like candy, mm-hmm. like potato chips. You could eat those.
617-779.
Would you crush him up and put him on the counter in front
0985.
Not those.
Yeah,
no.
Don't crush up a deviled egg. We do want to get back to this Brady conversation we were having before Read and React. And Tom in Worcester. It's elicited a lot of reaction on the phones. Tom's in Worcester.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I hope you can hear me all right. I'm on my Bluetooth because I'm out walking my dog. But
nice.
I got a question. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll be quick. You know, I know it's been going on all season. People have been talking about Belichick, the genius, and all that kind of stuff. But do you think it's possible, I mean, honestly, that if they go to the Super Bowl and they win, Brady's the hero, Belichick is the genius. If they don't go, Brady looks like a dog. Belichick is able to get rid of Brady, which I think is what he really, truly wants. And then again, he's still a genius. He moves on. Maybe he takes the next guy. You know, all the way to the show. Who knows? But
isn't it really how Brady plays, though? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, but Belichick is. I think he's intentionally put a lot of not really very good players around him. And I know a lot of good guys got hurt this year, the fullback and all that kind of stuff. But they never went after a tight end. Their O line is decimated.
They tried to get him AB. They got him Mohamed Sanu. Now, it's going to be interesting here last couple of weeks. Say that ankle gets better. Say he was limited the other night. That was the big problem of it. Because he, like, caught 10 balls in that Philly game, right? Or they went to him at least 10 times.
Sanu?
No, Philly, yeah. Sanu.
He caught 10 in the Baltimore game.
I'm sorry, it was Baltimore.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, he got hurt in the Philly game. You're right, on the punt return.
On the punt return.
But say he gets healthy and all of a sudden becomes more productive like that, like the Baltimore game. I want to see him get downfield more. You asked me that pregame last week. What more are you looking from Sanu? I'm downfield stuff. Anybody can run a hitcher.
It's, you know, I don't know if I'd term it a no. How do you put it? No win or no lose? Which way did he go on that? I don't think it's an extreme with Brady. But I will say this: as much as I say, I don't think Brady can carry the team. I don't think his skill is enough to make the offense better. As great as he is, I think he's the greatest guy going, the smartest quarterback in all the NFL. I don't think it can make a difference right now. And it's discouraging on a lot of levels, but I also don't feel like if they don't go all the way, I'd be hard pressed to find a reason to blame Tom Brady for that happening.
I think they'd blame them not putting enough people around him. I do.
Yes, it'll be Brady, something else. It won't be Brady. You won't say, oh, they lost because Brady wasn't
good. He's been telling you this for how many weeks now, the realistic expectations and this or that, you know? Like, Brady's been building to this. We need more people. We need more pros. We need pro pay people around me.
If they are to win the Super Bowl, it'll be hard to say it was Brady. If they are to lose in the first playoff game, it'll be hard to put it.
Wouldn't that be something, though, if
I don't think that he's in a position to get
hot?
I don't think he's in a position to get credit or blame.
Like, what are you going to do if, like, this offense gets hot and say he does start carrying them and they go on some run and they win the whole damn thing? Does that put more pressure on him to, like, geez, we got to do this again. We got to pay him. And we got to pay him a lot.
What if they win the Super Bowl and they do it by giving up 7 points in each of the games they play in the playoffs and the Super Bowl?
But again, it depends, like, offense.
Are you going to say he's the reason they won?
No, but this goes to the style point thing that I said a little bit about Kansas City, like the 14-13 win. I think they need to get in the high 20s, low 30s here to say, hey, it looks like they're jamming on offense a little bit here.
Matt's in Quincy. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, so I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you see any similarities between this team and that Broncos team that went on that Super Bowl run? I think it was Super Bowl 50. Because, you know, I'm looking at this team as constructed, and it's got a historic defense. And while Brady doesn't have the wet noodle arm and tomato cans that Manning was at that time, at this stage of his career, he's definitely just...
Yeah, but see, Peyton was throwing paint cans. He had Demaryius Thomas. Totally. He had Manny Sanders. He had two good backs. What the hell is the tight end's name that killed you on the two touchdowns? Kid from Baltimore.
Right? Then he went to Jacksonville, that guy. I can't think of his name.
No, you're thinking of a Thomas. He was different. I'm talking about the guy caught the two touchdowns on you. I think he was from Baltimore because he was there with Kubiak
right.
the previous year.
Well, you know, so you look at this, though, and I think I agree then with Beatles' point is that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, right there, Matt.
Hope so.
Okay.
Be like Hardy's golf call.
I think maybe his phone just cut out on him. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
He agreed with my point, though. What point? I don't know. I'm trying to remember who that tight end was. Is it Owen Daniels?
Matt something.
Owen Daniels. That's who it is.
Yeah, Schlepp. Couldn't even remember him.
Owen Daniels. He played a long time in the league.
Ran right by Jamie Collins to the end zone.
No kidding. They ran that little skinny double move.
So he played 10 years in the league and had 36 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
Not terrible.
Matt Schaub's guy.
But it wasn't like
a couple of injury years.
I was thinking of the guy in Pittsburgh, too.
Heath Miller?
Heath
Miller.
Didn't he go to Baltimore, too?
I don't think so.
He was there briefly.
I think you're thinking of Pitta.
Dennis Pitta. Nice job.
But Pitta was not in.
But he was productive against you, right? I'm talking about these guys that aren't great tight. They're not Gronkowskis, but they had productive days against you. Like Heath Miller did. Heath Miller killed you. All that.
Phil Perry is standing by. He's going to be in studio with us coming up right after headlines. No commercials. We'll get right back at it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.